Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3. I'm your host, Daniel Prue. And with me, as always, are my two strandies, my two fellow strandies, Darren Moser and Philip Gilfus. Guys, you know, I know since we're the only three people on this planet, and sometimes I'm a stickler for the rules, you feel like we could be a little lax, but you're not even really in the appropriate uniform. Like, it looks like you got your uniform from the Goodwill, or maybe you made it yourself as some sort of cosplay attempt.
How dare you, sir? My mother sewed this for me. And I'm kidding. The replicators really aren't what I thought they'd be on this ship. So
the colors are off, the shapes, you can kind of recognize the...
We're allowed to drink during this podcast, right?
I mean, I went with command, but I cannot decide if I want little stars on this on or not. I can't decide. What do you think I should do?
Hey, I had my mom sew my Voyager outfit. I mean, this was only like 5 years ago or something. And then subsequently, when I had to wear it again, I had my mother-in-law fix some of the stitching. So nothing wrong with moms doing uniforms.
No, of course. What is your rank of your Voyager?
It's always my real life Starfleet rank, which is lieutenant. I'm sort of going up the ranks.
Right. It's just promoting myself as I brush off my shoulders here.
So guys, let's not talk about Star Trek this week. How's that sound?
Talking about Discovery, and now we're not even talking about Star Trek.
I know I was doing Trek outside Trek, but let's not outside Trek too much.
No. So you know what we hear a lot in the Star Trek blog.
You guys are the best podcast ever. Oh.
Well, we do. I mean, we hear
and
that.
And I'm
it's
not
true,
subscribing but... to CA3 because I should get it for free. Oh, I guess it actually
modesty
is for free.
Modesty is one of your virtues. I mean, that's what I hear. But...
You know, we hear a lot is this, and this has actually been an interesting talk for maybe another episode, but we hear one of the best, if not the best, Star Trek movies is Galaxy Quest.
This is true.
We get that a lot. I hear that all the time. And I land on a very specific part in that debate, but that's neither here nor there. But we basically now have a Galaxy Quest, well, this is going to be tough to say, Galaxy Quest-esque TV show on the air right now. So everybody's aware of this. Seth MacFarlane has been a massive fan of Star Trek for, as far as I'm aware, since he was just a little chillin', and... He decided, I'm pretty sure that the backstory is he's been pitching a show to CBS for a long, long time, and they didn't want to do it. So he decided to make his own, and hence the Orville was born.
You know, I do have a, I'm not disputing it, you, Daniel, but I do have a hard time picturing Seth knowing how to leave the Fox studios and to go to another network.
Well, that's because every time he tries, they keep giving him bags of money. But
and unlike in the future, you know, that's actually worth something right now.
It is. So I wanted to talk about the Orville because it's clearly, I mean, to say that it's an homage,
its strongest
or that it's
influence
by...
is definitely a certain show that we know and love.
I mean, it is.
Oh, Lost in Space?
It is a Star Trek show in everything but name. I mean,
Star Trek based show. Star Trek based show.
I will still yes. say it is obviously its heaviest influencer.
Yes.
From core story
structure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know
positions to overall look, but it has, you know, it really is. It's at its core its own thing. I think in a lot of good ways. In the ways that matter.
Well,
or even
maybe,
bad ways.
Maybe, yeah, we'll talk about that. That's actually a really good topic point. But what I just want to start when this was like right as the hype to discover. When Orville was first announced, I remember this specifically. I'm like, okay, MacFarlane is doing his own thing. This is really, weird.
It's like when Chicago Hope and ER came out the same time. You're like, come on, really? The
or
same
Armageddon
thing?
And Deep Impact. Or
oh, very good, very good.
I mean, Bug's Life and Ants. I mean, it's just...
Oh, that's another good one. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
30 Rock and Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Ah, yeah. So I got another one there.
So, I mean, I guess we'll start there. Initial impressions. What did you think of the concept of Orville? I was not sold at first on the concept. I didn't... The initial trailers really played up the humor, which it is still a strong element in the show, but it, I think to the disservice of the show, slightly at least, I'd say. Did you guys think, I guess this will be my first question. Is there enough room on TV for Star Trek Discovery and the Orville?
Yes. Is that even a
yes,
question?
Yes, because one is actually on TV and one is not on TV.
Well, you had a good point.
So there's actually a lot of room.
One is where I am and one is not.
Well, see, I always think, and I'm sure we will talk about in this episode, and for the sake of this episode, this is the only time I will allow it in my life, but the whole, like, comparing Discovery and Orville, it's apples and oranges. I mean, yeah, they're both
really
Star Trek based, but, like, I mean, you know, why don't we just talk about how SeaQuest is the same? You know, I mean, like, you know, it's okay. It's a sci-fi, you can talk about within the realm of comparing to Star Trek, but comparing them to each other, they're just totally different animals.
Well, no, I agree. I think, I mean, kind of to your first point, I mean, I'm not a huge Seth MacFarlane fan. I think his animated humor is not just my cup of tea. It's a little more, I guess, crude than I usually go for. But I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, which I think is the biggest difference in the beginning of a show like this. You know, MacFarlane, it's kind of that double-edged sword where it's like, you know, you have a very strong expectation of what you're going to get, but you also can see he has a deep love for science fiction, especially Star Trek. So what is that going to be? And in the end, that's the Orville.
And I think with Orville, I'm sorry, I don't know if you were finished, Dan.
No, no.
But
yes.
I think with, you're talking about benefit of the doubt. I think with Orville, I give it more of a benefit of the doubt because it isn't Star Trek. That I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing, but like as we're with Discovery,
it
I'm probably
have
a little
to
bit more
Star Trek, because
right. And
not.
With Discovery, probably a little more harder of a critic, because I'm like, well, this is Star Trek, so I can, you know, be a little tougher.
And a lot of people have said like this is '90s Trek. It's very next gen esque, and I think maybe it was in the beginning. I feel it has come into its own in a lot of ways, but people say it's next-gen Trek, but yet it's also not. It is more modern. It does deal with more... It deals, like Star Trek should, with the issues of the time. You know, it does have that piece of its DNA.
Right, and always... something that frustrates me, maybe it's just a Philip thing, is that people keep using next-gen as a comparison, whether it's Orville or anything else. You know, people be like, oh, well, you know... Encounter at Farpoint looked like this, so the pilot for Discovery, I'm like, it was like 30 years ago. I mean, like, yeah, you know, was. There's Voyager, there's in other words, my long way of saying, when people compare Orville to like, oh, 90s Trek, I mean, there's Voyager. I mean, what you're saying is episodic Trek. It's not
yes.
Like next gen per se. You're just saying like,
no,
like non-serial DS9
I wouldn't
and Voyager.
Compare it to DS9. I mean, this isn't. As far as tone,
well,
as far as location, yeah. And Voyager had this unifying, you know, get home, you know, I mean, yes, Voyager is just a step to the side of what Next Gen was, but I mean, I still stand with that statement. I know what you're saying. Yes, there was more to 90s than Next Gen, but I feel comparison-wise, and also, I mean, it's usually established that Next Gen was the most popular of those three shows.
And I think it's very clear that it does get most of its influence from TNG over all the other Star Treks.
The holographic doctor. Oh wait, no, it doesn't have that, does it?
Hey,
no,
which no, series had a bar? I believe actually they all did. I'm kidding.
Yeah. from costuming to characters to the music,
the arches in the background of the bridge.
It is. I mean, it's been clear for a long time also that TNG has been Seth MacFarlane's favorite Star Trek. And of course, obviously, since he's created this, I'm not saying there aren't other sci-fi influences or there aren't other Star Trek.
And why wasn't he a guest on Next Gen, huh? Why didn't he go back in time and find a way to become
a guest? He was
a guest
on Enterprise.
That? Yeah,
so
that's got to be his favorite.
Because he wasn't famous the then, rule. Guys. And he didn't have the pull that he had when Enterprise came out. Anyways, we'll get into all of that later. I was initially skeptical of the Orville. And like you, Darren, I have no problem with Seth MacFarlane. I was like 14 when Family Guy first came out. So I was like on the ground floor, like target audience for that show. And I thought it was amazing and awesome and hilarious when I was 14, 15, and 16. And then, of course, you know, you get older and you move on and that's fine. And I've seen some, I have no problem with Seth MacFarlane. Ted was pretty funny. I didn't see the second one, I don't think, but you know, he's done a lot and he's kind of, but I don't love Todd McFarlane. Uh-huh. Seth MacFarlane.
What do you have against Spawn?
I don't love him. And in fact, when we get to this topic, I will say I think both his writing and his character are some of the weakest elements of the show. And I actually think I'd be more interested in the entire thing if they jettisoned him, at least as a main lead. But that's, we'll get to that when we start talking about characters. But it's not going to happen. Of course, it's not going to happen. But I think he's part of the weaker parts of the show. But let's talk about the overall season. And just so the listeners are aware, we're a week behind here. So we will be talking about the show up until this season finale. We all have not seen the last
episode. No, it's because we want to protect you, the listeners, from spoilers. That's our service to you.
Yes, that's our goal.
We've seen through the first 11 episodes, but not the season one finale yet.
Right, which was supposed to be
the
penultimate,
yeah.
Yeah, right.
Discovery got their episode. See, that's how it works. You only have a quota system in Star Trek. So, I'm kidding.
So let me ask you guys, what do you think, as generally as you possibly can, of the whole season? Like, did you, you think it was, did you like it overall? Did you hate it? Did you think it was right in the middle? Are you like 7 out of 10, we'll watch again sort of thing? Like, are you happy with the Orville? Is this a ship you want to visit or what? What do you guys think about it?
I mean, I think to me, this, in my opinion, this series has grown so much. And it may be just the fact that it had to sell it one way, and then Seth and the other team, because I'm sure there's a team, not just him, sort of got to develop the show when they started to, you know, focus on characters. And so, you know, each character, I think, has had an episode. Feel free to correct me, but I think that's also a cool thing. And so those tonal shifts are sometimes funny, sometimes very, very serious, not funny at all. And so I love it when the series attacks, looks at serious issues, whether they're in and of themselves serious or more, you know, easily patterned on 21st century, you know, this decade, social issues. But I think it's grown, you know, sometimes the crude humor I like, sometimes it's a miss for me and I'm like, oh, I'm glad my parents aren't in the same room right now, but you know, I can either, you know, ignore it or let it pass by. But to me, I'd say the past couple episodes, and I don't think there's any episode per se that I've hated. But I think each episode to me has improved upon the previous one. And I'm like, oh, wow. I mean, wow. And then the last thing I'll say before letting y'all talk is the production values always floor me. I'm like, I can't believe this is a TV show. They must have the biggest budget of any Fox show, because the effects are just spot on and awesome and movie quality and cinematic. And so, you know, even if sometimes maybe the story or the writing can seem, you know, at times maybe it's not as good as what you expect, but the special effects still throw me away. Like, I believe I'm in this universe at times, even though it's sort of a tonally funny universe. It's not really reality, but in and of itself, I believe in the world that they're building.
Yeah, I overall do enjoy the show and feel they've done a really good job of developing a lot of these characters. I feel I'm glad I gave it a couple episodes of shot, because it did develop and it did become more than the initial elevator pitch that I'm sure it was. And again, it's still kind of hard to disconnect it from its Star Trek-ness because I think it's so rooted in it. But I mean, I can remember a lot of these characters' names. You know, I can identify them. I can track, like, you know, if I had to give a list of like what my favorite character is or what part I like of their development I've received so far, I can remember that way better than other shows. So it's doing a good job of engaging me, and the stories are good. They have good messages. It doesn't beat you over the head with it, but it's enough in like that Star Trek vein again. And it's again, very culturally relevant. The up down vote episode, which I don't think that's the title, but that's, you know, that's a great episode.
The Twitter episode.
Yeah. The Twitter episode or the Reddit episode, you know, and
Majority Rule,
that's right. And it's got a really good cast. I mean, we have the Doctor, you know, a lot of Trek alums are popping up, which is really fun. You know, and yes, I do kind of agree with you a little bit, Philip, where Ed Mercer, the captain, he's not the most engaging character, but I also don't feel they've overly spent time on him. Like, yes, you're going to see him a lot because he's the captain, but we've spent a lot of episodes focusing on Claire, the medic. We focused a lot on Yaphet, the blob, you know, more than I would expect.
You mean Norm MacDonald?
Yes. Yeah. And so,
I feel like that's overall a personal pet project that Seth wants to give Norm work because, you know, he got fired a couple of years ago for things he said. And so Seth's like, no, I want to give Norm work. And that's it. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, I want to specifically talk about the characters in the next bit, but I'd like to hear what you guys think is your favorite episode. And I'll go first because I'm kind of springing this on you, and I don't know the name of the episode. I enjoyed the Isaac with the kids.
Oh, that's a great episode.
The most, Into the Fold.
Yeah. But like by far Isaac as essentially a Data character,
but different enough Bortis, that like he's actually really engaging.
He is. There are little twists. I've already mentioned it. Yes, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Data was always arrogant. That's
and
literally
tell
one
you
of the
he's an android,
things
so.
he says in the first episode. But he doesn't play it off the same way. So they put, you know, he puts little twists on these Star Trek things that sometimes work and sometimes don't. I like the Isaac character a lot, and I like, of course, the Doctor. The Doctor's really cool, but just that kind of element of the kids and the planet that they landed on. Again, it was all super familiar Star Trek trappings, but they were telling their own kind of story there when they went there, and they pushed that the character development with Isaac.
Well, I guess
further.
We should say, especially as we get into episodes, we will be spoiling plot points. Like, we're not trying to hide any of that. So watch up.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So what do you does anything stick? I mean, you mentioned the Reddit episode, Darren. I thought that was a little heavy handed, a little simplistic.
It was funny though. It definitely had.
There were parts of it.
I think you have to exaggerate to prove the point.
Right.
Yes.
And have you heard that came from? I'm pretty sure this is it, but that Seth MacFarlane went on Reddit to do an AMA and Ask Me Anything and to promote the Orville, and just got slammed as far as everyone just wanted to talk about other things, or they did not want to talk about the Orville. They did not want to positively, and they just downvoted like all of his responses, and it was just very hostile and very negative. And so I think it's a direct comment on that experience he had.
Right. I think the only thing overall, I have very little complaints about that episode. I think the young lady character was a little simplistic. You know, the native.
Oh, you mean the coffee shop lady?
Exactly. Yeah, that who's, you know, learns her lesson and everything is perfect. You know, so like that. And but other than that, I think I buy the society. I buy the, you know, everything. I mean, you know, and as much as what for storytelling purposes, I thought that was all done very well.
I'd say Krill was a really, really good one.
Yeah, to really give life.
Oh,
to...
was that when they went undercover?
Yes. Yeah, they're undercover as okay. Devin. Well, and
Devin? I panicked.
Yeah,
but you get a lot of the, you know, what is my enemy? How does my enemy view me? Am I going to kill them? Am I going to kill their children? It's all really real stuff. And you know, but adding in those humorous bits from this, you know, this species.
The best parts of the Orville is when the humor accentuates the message. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it detracts from it. And I think that's the biggest problem is that they use the humor very smartly in a lot of situations, but in a lot of ways too, it's just dick jokes. And then you're like, okay.
But I feel it's moving away from that.
I don't take the situation.
Like percentage wise.
I don't take the situation seriously.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not convinced of that. I felt that this whole season was pretty even overall. Like there's always one stupid joke in the episode that you're like,
yeah,
okay,
true.
You're not
a joke too far. Yeah.
How can I take this seriously if you're not taking it seriously? But then there is always that one time too where they're like, they put a joke in when it's not expected. And that's like, I understand that's a tough
like
balance.
Like Bordas about to sing My Heart Will Go On for karaoke. Yeah,
exactly. Or like, hey, you know, we should really have a bowl full of like, you know, something they can eat and drink when we bring people in this conference table, you know.
I will not fail you. Yeah. Bordas is just a great character. We'll talk about him, but
Bordas is great.
But there's this is going to sound stupid, especially since it's a 21st century show, but since it's an episodic show and it admitted, you know, it's a self-confessed episodic show, there's a lot of continuity. Like I assumed Claire's kids were never going to show up again, and they're like every other episode.
A lot. Yeah.
So like they're building up that Isaac relationship, so it's like they haven't forgotten. So that's the Deep Space
and
Nine element.
And you have
element.
The overarching plot between Ed and Kelly of their relationship and fallout and all of that.
Right. And I think it's interesting. Yeah. And I think a lot of people were, you know, and I don't know, Daniel, I think maybe you were one who were like, oh, if this is going to be the whole show is the two of them. I mean, this is going to be boring. But I like this last episode or the penultimate episode where, you know, it's revealed how she kind of got Ed the job.
Which we already knew as the audience. Yeah.
In episode one. But, I mean, even though that was kind of a plot, it wasn't this huge, going to change the whole universe. It's just like, oh, we dealt with it, and that was it. You know, there's no more. And then, of course, we got the love plot where it sort of hinted that maybe she didn't cheat on him voluntarily or, you know, under the influence.
It's ambiguous enough that, you know, you can draw your own conclusion.
Also, Rob Lowe, come on. How many people have Rob Lowe?
Oh, man, I was so happy that Rob Lowe showed up. That was amazing. That was the best part of that episode. I will say real quickly, I don't like this. I think that the back and forth divorce jokes, that tension is stupid, and it's one of the worst parts of the show, and I'm so over it. Like, I get it. Either learn to work with each other or separate, you know, get off the ship. I think it's cheap, easy humor. Hey, have you ever been married? Am I right, folks? Like, it's so dumb and I hate it. And that was one of the most frustrating parts of the show. And that's why I don't like the captain or the first officer, because they're both selfish and jerks to each other. I don't like either of them. And I'm way more interested in the other characters, which is a great transition. Thank you for setting that up for me. Let's talk characters. What do you guys think? Who's your favorite? Who do you hate? Is there any standouts? And how much do you love Norm MacDonald?
I thought he was going to really be annoying. And in a way he is, because he's kind of sexually harassing Claire, especially in this climate. But, you know, this last episode with him in engineering, I did buy into his character a little bit more. But actually, my favorite as at this point, and maybe this is too obvious, but I'll go with it anyway, is Alara. I go for the cute woman. I suppose that's the cheap one. But no, I mean, because she has this cool backstory of, you know, being super strong based on being on this planet. And then I don't know how to describe that, the episode of on the holodeck, which I know it's not what it's called.
Firestorm or Firewall.
Yeah, oh my god, that episode freaked me out. Like, that is a freaky episode.
And the fact that you don't see the holodeck thing coming. Like, it's like, I mean, maybe if the internet spoils it for you, but, you know, at the last second.
Like you learn that on her planet, like, it's all an intellectual planet, and they're sort of disappointed that she's doing sort of security work and tactical work. And then
opening jars of pickles.
Yeah, and then she's also this sort of stereotypical young lady in that, you know, she's been through this sort of, you know, dating slump, you know, and she still has her chat with the guys and girls and, you know, has her relationship with Kelly. And so, I mean, sort of a very normal, quote unquote, even though she's alien, normal, quote unquote, person, you know, who probably likes to party a little bit and too and all that stuff. But so I like her normal character, but she's also growing, you know, even though it was the second episode when she was put in command and like threw up about it. I mean, I just think there's so many parts where she could be so one note, but there's certainly a lot to her.
Yeah, and I really like Scott Grimes as Gordon Malloy. I mean, I, you know, because he's normally a character that I probably wouldn't like because
I was going to say I'm surprised.
Like, he could, but he could really easily be really dumb. He's like that dumb best friend you had in college that you're like, I mean, that's literally how they paint the character. But
he literally was put on the stand to be a dumb man.
And but, you know, but he's actually funny and they give him enough emotional moments where you can tell like he's an actual person, even though he maybe doesn't make the best decision all the time. But, you know, I love, you know, Gordon and Lamar in the front just having fun steering the ship. It's just it's really, really fun. It's a fun show.
I'm glad you mentioned Gordon because I think it was you, Philip, that just mentioned earlier that all the major characters have their own episodes, and I don't think there was a Gordon episode, and I wish there was because I like you, Darren. I really find him, like, I get it. He's kind of the jokey character, but you also you feel like I get like a genuineness from him. Like he's like. Also, he's also the most real character. He's the one that's like actually sees all the nonsense for what it is.
He's been kind of stretched throughout the whole series, though. Like, you know, we have a lot of his interaction with Isaac, like the leg thing. And
I love that stuff.
And so I feel like, yeah, maybe he hasn't had his own episode, but he's had at least like a 10-minute scene in every episode so far.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But he's sort of
like a drunk Trip. You know, he's the captain's friend, you know, and
I want that character development episode, and maybe they're saving it for good reason, and maybe it'll be really awesome because I think he is this character that comes off as super silly on the surface, but maybe actually has some deeper interesting stuff going on.
And the only actor to have been on Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Wait, who did he play on TNG?
He was on in 5 seconds. He was one of Wesley's friends. I think they were going on a. Some sort of holiday trip, like I'm picturing in some kind of.
Is this the one with
tights.
The snowball?
Was it the snow one?
Maybe.
The snowball gets Picard.
Yeah,
we've got to look that up because that would be amazing.
You'll have to Google Scott Grimes in Star Trek: The Next Generation. But yes, he was in Star Trek: The Next Generation.
I had no idea. Oh my god. yeah,
Evolution.
That's pretty bad.
He's uncredited in Evolution.
He was the Blue Ranger in that episode. If you Google that, Scott Grimes in, anyways, he's great. I like him a lot. And I like Alara too, probably less than Gordon. The two characters I stuck with most are the two also most prototypical TNG characters, which are Isaac and, Bordis.
You mean Data and Worf?
Data and Worf, basically. And they play a lot of the same roles, obviously, but with a little bit of a humorous twist.
Well, I say Bordis, I mean, as little as you get from him verbally, we know a lot about his family life. We know his partner. We know his child. You know, we got his we got his backstory about his planet. I mean, he got, and again, it's one of those things like a lesser show would have been like, oh, yeah, he has a baby. And then we never hear from it again. You know, you just one of those, you have a baby. And of course, much like real life, you just never hear from it again. It's not like they're constantly there for the rest of your life. And so, but that's what the show is doing. You know, we always check in sometimes with the partner. Sometimes they're fighting. Sometimes they're all right. Sometimes he's caring for the baby, you know, whatever. And so I like that, even though a character who at first glance would be like, oh, he's just going to be the grunty, whatever. But there's a lot to him as well.
And he likes karaoke.
Well, we say he likes karaoke, but I mean, have we seen
well,
it?
Well, that's true. That's true. I also sing.
Well, and
you'll all be quiet.
and you talk about characters, though. I mean, guest stars, man,
oh
they've been
gosh.
Able to get like a lot
whoever
of really good. Yeah, pretty much whoever. I mean, and so it's like this perfect storm of this show where it's like, who else could pull off this show but Seth MacFarlane? Really, no one. right now.
I mean, I'm glad they don't do it all the time. But I'm glad, like, every four episodes we have a holodeck adventure that just is your normal, quote-unquote normal holodeck with some twist, you know, like, you know, the singing cowboy or just, you know.
Why did you do that? Why would you do that?
I just thought, you know, added something, you know?
Am I late, like, for the duel? Okay. It's like.
So the most recent episode when Alara was having her crisis, mm-hmm. and she was on the holodeck, and then they come in and they're like, are we early? This is 11:30. Like, right. This is for our time.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of stuff.
I guess we shouldn't even have signups then. Okay.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that really works for me.
It's the day-to-day stuff. It's the lower decks elements, which is really what it captivates.
It's really, there are super funny moments, but then there are moments that are trying to be funny too hard.
Like the guy who's always talking, the alien, like the one who talked about the elevator music.
I liked the elevator bit. And then, I thought
but this last episode, or I mean the penultimate episode, where you're just like talking the whole time because he's trying to be one of the guys. You're
he's
like,
just trying.
Oh my God,
so
you're
hard.
Annoying.
But that's what makes it funny.
Because but the longer he's talking, I mean, I'm looking at it because I'm looking at him. That is a lot of makeup. Like, that is a lot of work that actor has gone through. I mean, that's how many hours in the chair for that.
So I wanted to talk about what the Orville borrows. And I say borrow liberally because takes from.
Well, let's fill out our characters. So we didn't talk about.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Did I miss something you wanted to go
Lamar,
ahead?
Oh, sorry.
That character is Dan. D-E-A. Sorry. D-A-N-N. And. Yeah, he's played.
So not associated with the rest of us, just so everybody is aware.
Lamar, you know, he was kind of, you know, up until New Dimensions episode, you know, a little bit to him. He was sort of the foil.
A little more background-y.
You know, the partner in crime. But then we get, and I love that, technically I know he's the navigator, not the helmsman, but we get the turning the guy driving the ship and make him the chief engineer. How much more next generation can you get?
It's like, let's just, you know, you read
slap
the playbook
a visor on him
a lot. Yeah. Which, and it's interesting because I mean, it's like, why would they, you know, because he had a, you know, reoccurring guest star for the chief engineer before. But, you know, I liked New Dimension. And again, a lot of these episode premises aren't necessarily new. It's like, oh, give the guy who's always quiet a chance and he surprises you. Like, that's been done. And I'm not saying that's bad. It's just, like all good television, we want to see these instances with these characters. That's what makes it good television, because it's actually on television.
The thing with Lamar, again, it reminds me of kind of like the first Barkley episode, where I would show this episode for people who want to develop their leadership. Because again, Lamar, comes across very real. I mean, you know, he talks about something
Ord
that's
Wesley's
very real.
Put in command. Yeah, that was a good one too.
Right, but he's very real about, you know, that's probably something relative for many people. Like, I don't want to throw my, you know, smart flag up because then I'm going to be cast out. And so, but they're like, you dude, try it out. And then the way he becomes a leader is not intentional. You know, he's just trying to look out for people. Hey, don't make fun of Yama. That was my idea. Everyone, no more gumdrops.
Yeah.
But you know,
he's exactly what a leader. He has it. He had it inside him all along.
That's right.
Yeah. I was less excited about that episode than you guys seem to be. I was not convinced. I don't know if it's the writing or the acting or what. Okay, fine. You tell me he's the smartest guy, but okay, that's fine. I don't know. I didn't really buy into that episode so much. I liked the backstory and that seemed to make sense, but I don't know if the actor isn't pulling it off for me or what. Whatever. I mean, I don't hate Lamar or anything like that. I'm indifferent towards him. I have no warm or cold.
Well, he makes us go now.
That's true. Well, that's true.
And I don't think we've mentioned Claire yet. And I mean, mm-hmm. Claire, a good, awesome space mom that actually is really probably one of the most developed characters in the show so far. We've given her a ton of screen time. She's been in a relationship. We've seen her with her kids. You know, she's saved the day a lot with her medical know-how, and like she's, I feel like we know more about her than we do about Seth and about Kelly and Ed combined so far.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, of course, Deep Space Nine alum. So yeah, yeah.
Cassidy Clare.
Yeah, I just thought Cassidy Yates, or Cassidy Sisko, depending on if she changed her name. Yeah, the scene with her though, and
Yoffit.
What's his face? Yeah, that was a little much. But that was fine. That was fine, I guess. I thought that was the one part about that episode. It was the part where, you know, she confronts him and like pulls the, I don't know if they call them phasers, but pulls the gun on him. And then, like, you just, like, go to another scene, and the next scene is like, oh, man, I don't know how I'm going to face him. Like, what'd you do to, like, what happened? Like, she was, like, going to kill him or something? Or, like, it just cut, that was a rough cut on that scene. Because I was like, what did she do to him? You know, I don't know.
See, both Discovery and Orville push Star Trek's boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I like that, because I think Star Trek is already a boundary pushing, well, it was conceived of as a boundary pushing sort of endeavor, and it has from time to time, but this allows them to kind of confront that face to face. This obviously, because this is Orville and Seth MacFarlane, he's gonna go on more on the anything goes. If it's for a joke, we can allow it, you know. And like you said, the scene with Yoffit and the doctor, which is, you know, a little PG-13-ish. It's not crazy, but it's
not
a
the
more
krill eating the guy's head or whatever they did. That was,
yeah, that was a lot.
But of course, considering Discovery ate a captain, you know, I can't really, you know.
Well, the ship didn't. The ship was actually not even there, Philip, I know. So maybe you shouldn't implicate the ship in that sort of thing. All right. Well, okay. What else? What else do you guys want to talk about? Do you want to talk about specific themes or what?
I wanted to just talk a moment about the technology, because, I mean, again, sure, you have to create this sci-fi world in the future. But, you know, I really enjoy it. I like the ring kind of design of the three loops on the back. The quantum drive, I think, is what they call it.
Yes.
Reminds me of a couple of webcomics I've read, like Starship Crisis or Drive, where they have like a ring technology. So that was nice to see something different, you know, besides the, I guess, standard engines that we're so used to. But it also does technology really smartly, like having lockers with weapons throughout the ship, and having, I mean, they even have a central stair, like I feel like they're always on the upper level of a 747, like in the lounge when they're on the bridge, because they go down the spiral staircase to get to the rest of the ship.
Reminds me of all like the Air Force One movies I've seen. That's like, oh, it's like the, you go to get
or,
the cockpit.
Or the movie Air Force
stairwell.
One. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I like how they do things, and the, you know, even the bridge layout, it's a nice bridge layout. You have the two at the front, you got the two in the middle, you have everyone else on the side, like the Defiant. Like, mm-hmm. Again, you can't reinvent the wheel, but you got to change it enough that it's new. And again, you know, a lot of this is done with, you know, background replacement and set extension technology. And it's, for the most part, it's pretty good. Like, the effects.
My question
wise
for Daniel is, how do I know which one's the captain's chair?
It's the left one, because that's the one that Bortus sits in, like he's got something up his butt.
He does, too. It's funny how he sits.
But isn't this the Voyager command setup?
But in that one, she sat on the left side, too. At least the way
it's facing. It's the entire two chair system. I would already argue against that in Voyager, but this was literally designed just for the whole
awkwardness.
It's my ex-wife next to me, blah blah blah. Yeah. And it's so stupid.
For the poster.
It's like, why do that? Yeah, it's whatever. I'm not I've already expressed
my
displeasure.
They're smart enough to split
that,
the horseshoe so you can at least walk through there. I mean,
yeah.
but I like overall the technology, from Isaac to how they get around. It's relatively light on the technobabble, which, I mean, it has some of it, but it's and they don't have transport technology. They're shuttle based, which is also interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a very interesting thing that where they were consciously like, we're not going to do that.
It unsolves, I should say, a lot of problems that should be easily solved,
which makes more drama.
Yeah.
It creates more tension. Yeah, I think that's probably for the
And
best.
It has the cutest shuttle. Like, every time I look at it, I'm like, this looks stupid, but it doesn't. Like, it looks like, I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like a motion picture design, or like, what am I trying to say?
A minivan?
Maybe 2001? Like, you know, it's so smooth and toy-like, but it still looks cool.
Well, there's that other next-gen shuttle, which is way more curvy. I think it's like a Type 8 or whatever they call it, but it is much more, it's less boxy than the one we normally see. It reminds me a lot of that. But yeah, it does have a motion picture kind of wrap-around front, and then the little tiny, you know, engine on the back. I want to see more like heavy cruisers and like bigger ships besides the Orville.
So there's been a lot of implied stuff about that sort of thing. They're like, Orville is just a light cruiser and blah 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 blah. And I'm also waiting for that shoe to drop. Like,
I mean, we have seen other ships, but not many.
I mean, I could feel like there should be like a stereotypical episode where like Ed had some rival in Planetary Union Academy who now is like captain of the huge big, you know,
that,
ship.
That would be funny. I could see it going, you know, there.
I what's imagine which guest star that would be, of course, you know, I don't know, but it'd be someone awesome.
One, you know, one stereotype that they've managed to avoid so far is the Badmiral. Yeah. So far, the only, as far as I'm aware, the only Admiral we know seems to be on the straight and narrow. So that's good.
Yeah. It gave him the job. So,
yeah. Although they're in purple.
Remember when Alara was in command and the Admiralty did tell her to abandon Ed and, oh, yeah.
But they
so
did have good reason. It just wasn't the best course of action.
Yeah, it wasn't like because they're trying to take
the crew.
I mean, they're not going
to
show up and be like, oh, we're here to take apart Isaac. See ya, you know. That would be actually really funny to like do some twist on The Measure of a Man with Isaac. Like, invert it the other way. Like, Isaac has to bolster up for this other alien race why humans should be allowed to live or something.
Yeah, he has to take apart his captain or something like that.
Well, no, I like it. Like, you would take off Isaac's arm and you know, instead of him falling over, you'd be like, that arm was merely to make you feel more comfortable. I can actually only operate with one appendage.
Oh, speaking of which, of technology and, you know, the humor of Orville as well, apparently, limb replacement is super simplistic in the future.
That's true.
As well,
they do have a lot of medical. Their medical technology is really high up there.
Really good replicators, too.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much anything you want.
And another you know, kind of complaint we've had as Star Trek fans for a long, long time is that they seem to have forgotten actual Earth culture. And, of course, with the karaoke machine and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Although they seem to be a little too aware of what was going on 300 years ago, they also are aware that there was popular music. And actually, I think this most recent episode, they talked about the commander there talked about money and stuff. And
what's money?
Yeah, I didn't study it, but
I failed that course.
Yeah, so.
Well, you were talking about replicators. That made me think of the uniforms. I mean, they're really nice, like the cloth, the way they weave them, and I think there's four divisions. I'm pretty sure there's medical, operations, command and security. Uh-huh. And I'm like, bold move giving operations the orange, because I feel like that's a really unique color to do, but it works. They got the epaulets with their ranks on the. On the shoulder.
And their name, if you really look, yeah.
On the captains. Yeah, the captains and the admirals have their name on it. I don't think anyone
else. Oh, I never
noticed. It's really
that.
Fine. Like, it
that's
a fine design,
know.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look. Well, there's actually, I know the design studio out here that actually helped produce those, the badges and the shoulder and the wrist comms. And they look. They
Ooh,
look,
the wrist comms are also a good touch as well.
Yeah, so it's really subtle. But really high production. I mean, you were talking earlier about how, like, you know, they obviously have a really good budget, and I feel they do, but they also seem to, it's not like Star Trek where they're spending like $8 million on an episode. They don't need to, but they still are producing a really high quality product.
Right.
The makeup has been really good. Mm. I wanted to talk about the, specifically the last, I think it was the last episode where, yeah, it was the 2D episode where I was really impressed with that alien that shows up towards the end of the episode.
The Muppet?
who get yeah, the Muppet. I thought that was great, like really, really good. And Isaac is simple but effective. Bordas is really good. I would say Yaphet is kind of. I mean that's easy CG.
Yeah, he's super CG, but he kind of has to be.
That, I don't know. I think they cut corners with him, but there are times.
Yeah, they literally Alara, did. They cut his corner.
And Alara is really good. I mean, that it's again, it's the forehead, ear, makeup, but it's really spot on.
And someone had to point out that they actually changed her from episode 1 to episode 2. They gave her eyebrows. In episode 1, she doesn't have eyebrows.
Mm. I'd have to go back and watch. I've never rewatched anything.
Well, that's what I was saying. Right, also, with the command logo on their badge, it has a star field in the background, but then later it doesn't. So that's another small change they made over the course of the episodes. They kind of simplified it.
All right. So let's try to wrap it up, at least head towards that direction. What do you guys think? We're Star Trek fans. We love Star Trek. This comes from a man who loves Star Trek, but is not Star Trek. I don't know. They not announced a season 2 a few weeks ago. Are you glad that there's going to be a season 2 of The Orville? Are you looking forward to it? How does that make you feel? And are you excited that maybe they'll go in a different direction, or do you want them to kind of redo season 1, that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, I think it's good because it shows that sci-fi can succeed on television. You know, outside of Star Trek, I know this is Star Trek and Star Trek, but like, you know, it's hard to get network sci-fi to keep things on. You know, you know what I'm saying. Especially Fox, you know, very infamous for canceling certain sci-fi shows. We'll say it'd be Firefly. But anyway, so I mean, you know, it's good. And also it's something I look forward to. Like I said, it's you know, as we've all said, sort of fun viewing, you know, it's hey, you know, get to sit down and watch Orville, maybe laugh, maybe teach a lesson, whatever. And I also think the great thing about it continuing is, and I suppose it could get go off the wheels if they keep doing it, but like you do seem to learn a new aspect about a character every episode. Like, oh, I think I knew everything. Oh, Bordas can eat anything, apparently. Or, you know, we meet Alara's parents. Or, you know, like we always add something to a character every episode. Or, like, Claire has kids. You know, we've been, like, half a season in. We didn't know she had 2 kids. You know, like, just something, like, every time. Like, it'd be cool to go to Isaac's home planet and meet all the other superior robots or whatever. You know, there's always more to learn about all these characters, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to season 2. I like the characters. I want to see more of them. I want to see more situations. I want to see new characters. Like, let's add a whole new character in the second season or change something up. Like, I think at this point, you know, because again, there's not the stipulation this is going to have to be like a 7 or 8 or whatever long series. Like, let's just take it as it is and go for it. And I think as long as it's on par with what it's been giving us so far. And I think it totally has the potential to give us like some best of both worlds, like curveballs and dramatic and good moments. I think it's going to do really well.
And also, I think with now that we have a navigator position open, I feel like season 2 should just be a different person, guest navigator, you know, every week. And then like season 3, we actually find a new permanent
The first
person.
Episode is them interviewing for the position, and it's just like all HR focused.
I know. Well, that could be a Scott Grimes focused episode, because now he has to have a new buddy, and he could always be like, oh, I don't think I'm going to work with this person, or I'm not really comfortable with the.
I hope, and I expect at some point, Toonces, the driving cat, will become the co-pilot of the Orville, because he has expressed interest in having a cat on the bridge, which I actually loved. I thought that was a fantastic scene.
And then Isaac stroked him.
I thought that was great. That was a really good scene.
Well, that's the thing. Like, so Brian, he's got a lot of the best lines. He really does.
Orville is like on the cusp of being something great. I think there are moments that are great. I think there are elements that are great. I think it's brought down a lot of times by either the sloppy writing or the stupid jokes. I think that there is a lot of comedy to be mined from Star Trek. Obviously, there are plenty of funny Star Trek episodes, but if you inject humor into some of these situations, you have to do. It's very delicate. Yeah. You have to
humor
do
is
it
very hard.
Very
well. I mean, I think about like the very serious episode with Bordas's daughter, who then became a son. But then the courtroom scene had a lot of silly stuff, like, you know, Scott Grimes being like, you know, Kelly's like, I'm sorry, I know you're gonna, you know, she's like, no, it's cool, you know, just being the dumb guy for that role, or you know, all those different things, but to promote a serious point. And so I think, and it's also sometimes just to relieve the tension if you are doing a very, you know, trying to do a serious show. So yeah, I think it can work.
It can work, and I think it does. I don't know if I'm. I guess I would say it's 50-50 at this point for me. Like, half the jokes in Orville land and half the jokes don't. I think they need to ratchet that up.
Yeah, I think my least
writing needs to be cleaned up, and it needs to be tightened up, and use the jokes. Use them. I'm okay with the jokes. Use them when it's appropriate. Make them work and make them funny, like the cat thing. That's funny because it's not interrupting anything super serious.
Right.
And
it doesn't feel forced.
And
in
it's
there.
Actually, and yeah, and it's putting you, it's actually making you relatable to these characters.
I think like my least favorite episode for your humor would be the Rob Lowe episode. Not that I hate it, but just because you have Ed acting stupid in love and Kelly acting stupid. And you know, and it's kind of like, yeah. I mean, I mean, to me, it's funny, and I'm not right. saying it's bad.
It's
I'm saying if I had to rank
what's going
it,
on.
Yeah. And so it's the playing up of like, oh, he's in love with another dude because gay is still funny.
No, but, no, yeah, totally, yeah. Way over the top. Yeah. Way over the. Oh, I thought we were having drinks. No, I thought we were having drinks. And it's like, it's just, it's. I totally agree with you. It's when it goes for the juvenile humor that I think that it tends to fail. Mm-hmm. And it's when it does the smart sort of character-driven humor that it works. Like I say, like
Scott Grimes.
Grimes with the with the cat bit. Mm-hmm. Like that. I mean, it is kind of funny on its surface, but it works because his character is like, you kind of think that he would be maybe a cat. I want a bridge cat. That's hilarious. That's super funny, and that works really well.
I like that he basically, like, because what we don't ever see in Star Trek that is obviously really happens. Is once you press the engage button, and then everyone's just staring at the screen, and he's the guy that's like, hey, since we got a couple seconds, guys, you know, and then his question will spark some chatter from, like, Isaac right. not knowing what it means, or Bordas being like, I agree, and you're like, whoa, Bordas agrees? What the hell?
Exactly.
And that sort of, that subversion of expectations is important and worth exploring, and I hope that Orville Season 2 focuses more on that. I think the problem is when it's more like, you know, yeah. I drew a dick on the windshield. It's like, okay, I think the Orville has tremendous potential, and I think that little parts of it really kind of show that. But it's overall, it's just it needs to get to the point where we don't need to do these silly jokes. We can do smart jokes, and it seems to be stuck right in the middle for me. Anyways, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if I want less Seth MacFarlane on the show or less Seth MacFarlane in the writer's room. I'm not sure because I don't know how much influence he exerts over either or. I don't like the character and half the writing is bad, but I think if he's the one influencing it to do the good humor, the good sort of stuff, then I'm all on board. Maybe I'm being a fuddy-duddy and I'm trying to push
season two musical episode. I want that. I want that.
I would be okay with, and this would be appropriate.
Seth can sing, by the way. Seth can sing.
Oh,
obviously.
Yeah.
He loves to sing. Yeah. He loves show tunes. So, what do you think, Darren? Overall, where do you land on all this stuff?
Yeah, no. Overall, I think I agree. It's not like it's no Lost. It's not like you have a million people who are like wanting to tune in to find out what happens next week. But it's not that kind of show. But I also feel that it has that potential to be a good show to continue to grow. And like I said, if they produced if season two was at least the same quality as we're getting in season one, I'm happy with that. You know, I'd like them to take it up a notch and kind of find a better balance with the humor. But I am very happy with the show so far. I enjoy looking forward to watching each episode. And I wanted to give a shout out for a moment because, you know, we often are not talking about the show because we talk about Star Trek, you know, proper most of the time. And but when this show, you know, the Orville came on, I wanted to listen and hear other people who were discussing this show. And friend of our network who we had on a couple episodes, Norm, has a great show called Discoville, where they talk about Star Trek Discovery and the Orville every week, and just not necessarily comparing them, just like, hey, we have both these two shows. There is a space for both of them. And he has a great panel of people that speak every week, and I really enjoy hearing their insights on the episodes. I think they're like us in the fact that they kind of approach things from a positive aspect. Like, yeah, they'll point out flaws or if jokes don't work or whatever, but they didn't create the show just to harp on it. Cause I mean, who wants to hear that? So if you have a chance to listen to Discoville on the Fandom Podcast Network, it's really good. And I can't wait to hear their thoughts on the finale when we finally get to it.
Well, absolutely. So that's it for Orville. We'll never talk about or reference that show again on this. No, that's not true. We'll probably talk about it. It's relevant, you know? I mean, it's what an interesting sort of thing. You know what comes to mind, Darren, is if they gave, you remember a few years ago, and I'm sure you do, when Troopers was like, you know, the cops parody of
Stormtroopers,
of Stormtroopers was like a big thing on the internet.
YouTube.
Yeah, Troops. Yeah, it was called
Troops.
Yeah.
Troops, sorry.
It was like a guy's showcase for what he could do visually effects wise, and it was really good. Yeah. And it was like Cops, but it was Troops.
And it was funny.
And it was really funny.
It feels like that. It feels like, you know, Orville
born
to Star
from
Trek
the
is
internet,
Troops.
But
yeah, it is to Star Wars. And it's like there's enough material, you know, with something as monolithic and culturally significant as Star Wars or Star Trek, there seems to be enough to mine there to parody it, to take what it is as a blueprint and make it into something different and something new and something unique and something special. Who knows? Maybe Orville will become something truly different than Star Trek next season. And I hope that's the case, because I'm interested in it and I want to watch it. And I would love to see different takes on this sort of stuff, because, you know, we're never going to get some of these storylines and some of these characters in Star Trek proper. And that's okay.
No, and that's what's so great about sci-fi. I mean, sci-fi really has a lot of variety. I mean, you have your, you know, you have your Galaxy Quest, your Doctor Who, your Star Wars, your Star Trek,
your
Blade Runner, your Spaceballs. You have like from the super serious to the fantastical worldview to the dystopian. Like, and I think honestly, there's room enough for all of it. So, you know, and honestly, I am enjoying what Discoville is offering, but that didn't mean I didn't enjoy, you know, the realism of Serenity or the kind of the campiness of Doctor Who. You know, there's I love science fiction. I mean, for Dr. Sci-Fi is my moniker. So I really enjoy all of those aspects, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the Orville has to offer us later.
All right, Darren, then what are we going to be talking about here on Teddy Alpha 3 next week?
We're going to shift back into Star Trek mode, and I am going to have you guys create your own starship. Yes, we're dusting off the 1990 whatever CD-ROM, create your starship. No, we're not. We're not quite going that far. But no, are you going to have a billion nacelles, or, you know, the sky's the limit? I want to see what you guys come up with, and you can decide it's crew, it's complement, but I want to know where will it fit in, the Star Trek universe, with all these ships. So we're going to be talking about our own do-it-yourself starships.
Fantastic. And Philip, if people wanted to get a hold of you and talk to you about what is your favorite color uniform, how would they get a hold of you?
They can find me at NC Public Servant. And on Twitter, and I will be more than happy to talk about Orville and Star Trek and anything in between.
And Darren, if they want to talk about how many quantum drives someone needs to enter warp drive, how would they get a hold of you?
No, it's apples and oranges, you know. I mean, well, quantum drive is I can't even begin to explain it because I literally have no idea how it works. But no, they can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram, Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi, or my website, drsci-fi.com, always talking about science fiction.
Okay, and if people want to get hold of me, they can find me on Twitter, at OneOfDan. That's the number one, not the word, as in Star Trek is the best. All right, fellas, we will catch you next week. I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here.
I'm Seti Helfeth.